Brazil's returning president, Lula, promises to lead the fight against inequality. From the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. A very happy new year to you all, and thanks for being back with us. Olé, 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 olá. Lula, Lula. Now, that was the chance from supporters of the returning Brazilian president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, better known as just Lula, as he was sworn back into office at the weekend. In a speech promising sweeping reversals to the policies of his far-right predecessor, Jair Bolsonaro, the left-wing veteran said he would reunite a country riven by inequality.
Fila na porta dos açougues.
Queues formed at the doors of butcher shops of people looking for bones to alleviate hunger. And at the same time, other people queue to buy imported cars and private jets. A social gap like this is an obstacle to the construction of a truly just and democratic society and a prosperous and modern economy.
An estimated 300,000 people line the streets in the capital, Brasilia, and these supporters told the BBC of their hopes now Lula was back in power.
He comes from the same state we do, from a social class that was forgotten, and he showed how he could succeed, so I believe in that too.
We are here fighting in name of democracy, that's why we are here today.
Lula also restated his aim to make Brazil a green superpower by reducing deforestation in the Amazon rainforest. The BBC's Camila Mota in Sao Paulo explained more.
The Amazon is very important because it's a carbon storage. It's a tropical rainforest that takes carbon dioxide out from the atmosphere and gets it into the forest. So it's very important on our fight to tackle climate change and try to make the global climate stable. So when Lula took office in 2003, Brazil was able to decrease deforestation by almost 80%. That started to pick up with Lula's successor, Dilma, then with Bolsonaro, it just exploded. And Lula has pledged to change that.
The BBC's Camila Mota there. Well, let's check the numbers now for the first time in 2023. Yeah, and a bright first session to start the new year here in Europe. No trading in London today. It's a public holiday here in the UK. But in Frankfurt, Germany's DAX index up over 0.5% right now on the back of comments from the country's finance minister that inflation may well have peaked there. Paris also up sharply. It's up just over 1% today. And in an interesting start to 2023 for the Eurozone as it has a new member. Croatia officially adopts the euro currency today and joins the European Union's Schengen zone, which allows visa-less travel right across the bloc. Well, that strength in numbers might be necessary after the International Monetary Fund offered another bleak outlook for the economic year ahead. The head of the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, thinks a third of the global economy may well be in recession this year. Speaking to CBS, she said 2023 will be tougher than last year as the US, EU and China see their economies slow. Bill Blaine is a strategist and head of alternative assets at Shard Capital in London.
Markets tend to think that if you have a bad year, inevitably it will be followed by a good year. But of course, we all know that doesn't necessarily follow. So for the IMF to turn around and say, look, there is a significant chance that even though labour markets are fairly strong around the globe, the kind of jobs that are being created are not necessarily high paying, and we're going to have recession, we're not going to see interest rates fall as rapidly as the markets think. So that's going to create a whole series of consequences that are going to keep markets on tenterhooks for the whole, well, at least the first half of 2023. And I don't think it's going to get that much better through the second half either.
Bill Blaine from Shard Capital in London. The Supreme Court in India has upheld the legality of the government's decision to abolish large denomination currency notes in 2016, a move that hit the cash-dependent economy. The judges said the decision was taken in consultation with the country's central bank and followed due process, as the BBC's Ambarasa Natarajan explains.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government abruptly withdrew more than 85% of the cash in circulation in November 2016 to target undeclared black money and corruption. The Indian government gave only 4 hours' notice in a move many described as shock and awe. Critics said the announcement put the country's economy into a tailspin as 90% of the transactions were done in cash. India's main opposition Congress Party has called the demonetization a singularly disastrous move.
Ambarasa Natarajan there. Well, let's head to Dubai now, where it's plans to scrap its 30% alcohol tax in an apparent bid to try and boost tourism. It will also stop charging for personal alcohol licenses, something anyone who intends to drink in the country needs to carry. This latest move is thought to be an attempt to make the city more attractive to foreigners in the face of competition from neighbours in the region, as the BBC's Katie Silver explained.
So they've scrapped their tax on alcohol, and they've also said that they're going to stop charging for personal alcohol licenses. Now, these are basically licenses that people need to carry around if they intend to drink, and they typically cost in the order of about 270 dirham or $73. Non-Muslims in Dubai, for instance, need to be above 21 to drink alcohol and, as I say, carry around this plastic card. It's rarely asked for, but those consuming alcohol can face fines or arrest if they don't produce it. Now, Dubai has been relaxing its laws regarding alcohol for some time. For example, they have allowed the sale of alcohol during daylight hours in Ramadan, as well as, you know, allowing home delivery during the pandemic. But two of the big alcohol retailers there, MMI, as well as African and Eastern, have said that they're going to be passing on this tax cut to consumers. One, for instance, said in a statement, "The Emirates' approach is dynamic, sensitive and inclusive for all." But it's unclear as well, though, if this is going to be a permanent change. The FT, for example, is citing some sources saying that it might just be a one-year trial.
The BBC's Katie Silver reporting there. Well, start 2023 right, and if you don't already, subscribe to our podcast. Just search for the Marketplace Morning Report, wherever you get yours from. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.